At least something. The faithful God. Our God is the faithful God. I think I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John 14. I wrote down a few verses here. The other night, I taught at our home fellowship the baptism of John, and the purpose of his baptism. Also looked at some scriptures briefly in the book of Acts, where Jesus Christ instructed his men that John indeed truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. And we know that to be 10 days. One of the things that I pointed out is that the impact of John's ministry and the impact of his baptism was really tremendous. It had a great impact. You know, all Israel came out to see him and to hear him. But the purpose of that baptism was to point out the Christ. And what John said was that he who comes after him, that he was not worthy to unloose his shoes in comparison, which was the job of a very lowly servant. And that he who came after him would baptize with Spirit. That was the point. Jesus Christ came to reinstate that which was lost by the first Adam, which was Spirit, that connection with God. And it's a tragedy when you understand some of these things, that so much of Christianity today consider water baptism to be the baptism. And it's at the expense. I don't care if people dunk. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. You want to water baptize, what? Have at it. That's not the point. But when it's at the expense of Spirit, when it's at the expense of what God has given through and by what Jesus Christ accomplished, now there's a problem. See? Jesus Christ spent a lot of time teaching about what was coming. He didn't teach about water baptism. He taught about Spirit. I am come that they might have life. And that life that Jesus Christ came to bring was Spirit, eternal life. So with those things in mind, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 14. And we're going to read this section. These sections are real familiar to you, but it's sort of neat to look at. We're not going to look at every place in the scripture, in the Gospels, where Jesus Christ taught regarding Spirit, but we're going to look at a few places. But in verse 12 it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You know, well, let's keep reading. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray or request the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he, or that it, it's really non-gender, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That comforter, it's regarding that Spirit of truth that was to come, and that's what he's teaching these men about. That word comforter is, it's a help, encourage, an encourager, advocate, is one of its meanings. Jesus Christ had been all those things to these men. And it's now coming to the time where he's going to hand himself over to be killed. And this is the last evening. As a matter of fact, this is the evening where he is taken. This is, I think what we're reading here is during the supper. What is referred to as the Last Supper. So it goes on, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that word comfortless is the Greek word orphanos. We get orphan from that. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, ye shall what? You shall live also. See? Because I live. He knew God was going to raise him from the dead. And that all these things he's teaching them, because God raised him from the dead, that he would give, that he would bring, that he would ask the Father on their behalf, would all come to pass. And it's kind of all summed up, because I live, you will live also. Isn't that beautiful? And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Isn't that beautiful? Judas, not Iscariot, said unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loves me not, keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he or it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I just thought about that wonderful record where, Peter went and to the house of Cornelius, and they received Spirit, just as the 12 had on the day of Pentecost. And when you read in the record, it says, "Can any man forbid water?" Peter had been a follower of John prior to his becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. But then in Acts 11, we read when he was called on the carpet in Jerusalem for going into this under the Gentiles like that, he said, then what? Remembered I the word of the Lord. See, how that you will be baptized with Spirit. See that? And we just read that that's one of the things a comforter would do, is to bring those things to your remembrance. Isn't that something? So that comforter, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. What was the source of Jesus Christ's peace? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Because when the world gives, there's always strings attached. Right? Sure. Scratch my back, I scratch yours. See? Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's go to chapter 15. And I want to pick it up in verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, ye know or understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, and it should read, ye are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak or excuse for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They rejected the Christ. They have no excuse. He did the works which no other man did. They have no excuse. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, when that Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he or it shall testify or bear witness of who? Of me. See? That Spirit will bear witness of me. Isn't that something? It's what it does. Now, I want you to turn to 16 with that in mind. And let's pick it up. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Yeah. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow or grief or heaviness has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It's better. It's profitable. That's what that word means. It's better. It's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, when that Comforter is come, that Comforter, which is the Spirit of truth, which is Holy Spirit, that proceeds from the Father, that Jesus Christ would send, all of these things he promised, when that is come, it will reprove. This word reprove means to convince. It can also mean to convict, to instruct. It will instruct. It will convince or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That spirit would convince, instruct, convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That spirit bearing witness of Jesus Christ makes known God's righteous judgment in Christ. Light makes manifest what? Darkness. Light reproves the darkness. Some men, and I'm using that as all-inclusive, men and women, love light. Others don't. But it's that spirit of truth, that teaches or instructs regarding what God has done and made available to all men in Christ. It makes known, gives evidence of, convinces of the righteousness that is ours because of Christ and the deliverance from future judgment. Those who hate the light, they see it too. We stink to them. We convict of their lack of righteousness and of their future judgment. Isn't that something? That's what Spirit does. That's what Holy Spirit does. That's one of the things it does. It bears witness of Christ. See? Isn't that awesome? How tragic it is that the emphasis for much of the Christian church is on water rather than Spirit. See? On opinion rather than God's Word. You know, what we have to give and what we have to bring is so awesome. It's so awesome. That walk with God, that walk by Spirit, when we just walk in love and walk, God working in us, that is evidence of Christ. We are bearing witness. Isn't that something? We do it when we operate manifestations of Spirit, certainly, just like on the day of Pentecost. You know, when they spoke in tongues. But boy, that's not the only way. We have those manifestations of Spirit, but in our walks, walking by that Spirit, walking in the love of God, It's really something, what we have to bring to the table. Boy, I tell you, if I were the adversary, I'd work my tail off to talk people out of this. Right? Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them, or you can't carry them now. Howbeit, when he or it, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, that Comforter, is come, it will guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. It shall glorify me, for it shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. See, that Spirit would bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that Spirit does. Isn't that something? See, it is evidence, you know, of his honor, of his goodness. These are things Jesus Christ taught regarding Spirit. Let's turn to, I'm going to look at one more section, and it's in Luke. This is right after he had taught them or given them an example of a prayer. And in verse 9, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 11, I thought I mentioned that. Well, God didn't tell you? Verse 9, Luke chapter 11, it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son would ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Now there's, you know, I think some of you know this, a little more to this. They would stack their bread on stones, on round stones, and the oil and the flour and everything from the bread over a period of time would cause that round stone to look just like a piece of bread. A small child wouldn't be able to tell the difference. If a child were to ask his father for a piece of bread, would he give him a stone, a counterfeit? Would a father do that to his child? No, absolutely not. How horrible. Or a fish, a serpent. There was a fish, I forget what it's called. It was a, I think it was a type of eel. Anyway, it was poisonous. You know. Now to a small child, it would look like a fish. If a child were hungry, would he give him something poisonous? Or an egg. Child asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? There was a scorpion in the East that when it was rolled up, it looked like an egg. Only problem is this egg had a stinger. Wasn't good. Would a father do that to his child? Dad, can I have an egg here? Of course not. See? He wouldn't give a counterfeit. He wouldn't give a counterfeit piece of bread. He wouldn't give him a counterfeit fish. And he wouldn't give him a counterfeit egg. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them that what? That acts. How much more? Isn't that something? You know, on the day of Pentecost, when Spirit was received, one of the things that Peter said was, the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Right? Absolutely. See? That was God's will. That's why Jesus Christ came. So that we could have Spirit, so that we could have eternal life. And in this life, we walk by that Spirit. That's God's desire for His kids. The things that we're reading were instruction. Jesus Christ instructing concerning the baptism that He was coming to bring, which was Spirit. Now, we've only scratched the surface here in looking at just a few verses or a few sections where Jesus Christ taught regarding what was to come, which was Spirit. See? And God, being the faithful God, brought that to pass, didn't He? Absolutely. Absolutely, because He is the faithful God. You know, one of the things we heard was shining forth as lights in this world. We heard that in manifestations this morning. We do that by holding on to the Word of God. And God's working in us. Isn't that something? Where we shine as lights in this crooked and perverse time or age. That Spirit. See? The effect that we have, you may not always see. You may not always understand. But you have an effect. We have an effect. When we're walking with our Heavenly Father, when we're walking in love, we're changing things. We really are. Whether you see it or not, because God's word is true. So don't lose heart. So you just keep going to the Father, stay in His word, we walk by that Spirit, we get better and better and better at it, and we have an effect. Our lives have an effect because we are lights. So, amen. All right.